For I have got another girl, another girl, making me say that I've got nobody but you. But as from today, well, I've got somebody that's new.
We cannot sing, but we think we can.
That's why we listen to the Beatles and aren't the Beatles.
Bob Belts, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and Bo Mitchell. You get the blessing. Welcome aboard. You know, we've actually heard from people. I love your Beatles music. And other people, we've heard them say, why are you playing Beatles music?
Our guest today doesn't like the Beatles, or at least doesn't like them like we like them.
Look how young he is. He's probably barely heard of them.
That's probably true.
So this is Bo Mitchell, Bob Belts, my co-host, where you get the blessing, and thank you seriously for the emails we receive and the comments we get about the program and the fact that you, kind of like us, enjoy hearing from our guests and meeting these wonderful people every week and being blessed by their lives.
You know who loves our show and listens every Sunday morning? Ernie and Ellie. They are like awesome. So Ernie, we love you. Ellie, we love you.
And Ernie, you are a guy worthy of me greeting every time I see you. You're something. And so did Paul and Marge. They listen.
Great.
These people ought to be going to church. Snap out of it.
You think Paul could give the church a break on our copy machine?
Shh. No. Paul, if you're listening, get your brother Lloyd in a meeting and help us. I love all you guys, so hate to single out names. I think I was going to say Marcy's name, too, here recently, and Todd. They normally tuned in and commenting positively on what we do. So back to the guest. We have a great guy in studio with us today, and a guy that's been our guest before, along with his wife, Debbie. But let me reintroduce Mark Nichols. Mark, thank you for taking time being with us today. You're talking to thousands of listeners. So
thank you, Bo. It's exciting to be here again.
Good. And so glad you got Georgia out of your system. You live in Colorado now.
I still have the Georgia accent, so if you have trouble understanding what I'm saying today, you'll write Bo and Bob and ask for a translation. So
it's like old Dan Reeves. You say, how do you say football? Like football or something. I couldn't.
Well,
I was like, what sport's he talking about? Do you remember this?
No, I don't remember.
Isn't
that.
He a Georgia fella?
He coached at Atlanta Falcons for a couple of years, and I was not too big a fan of his when he was there, but.
That's a good thing.
He's listening this morning, too, so we're glad that you,
glad you said that.
He's a great guy, but he's not a great coach.
Mark and Debbie came on, I don't know, a few months ago and shared their story. I think it's longer than that, actually, and it was just so amazing. And as I've gotten to know you even better, Mark, and followed what you do with your life, I just wanted to come back and have you share quickly your story and Christ's role in carrying you and Debbie through some of the tragedy you've experienced. And, Bob and I don't sit here as anything special as the co-hosts. We're just two guys that have had plenty of pain in our own lives. And without Christ, I don't know how anybody gets through this stuff with kids and family and legal issues and health or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I think, part of what we really hope is anybody that's listening and is really going through a tough time in their life, whatever it might be, that maybe we can, kind of give a little hope and say, Christ really cares. And if we, call upon him in the midst of our difficulties, he has ways of really helping. So I think that's our spirit this morning, is maybe offer a little hope to people that are going through the grinder at the moment.
So stay tuned here, folks. You're going to hear an amazing life story. And Mark, I wish I was introducing you as the star quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons who championed 5 straight Super Bowl victories. But you know what? God's in charge, and somehow through all the pain, there's sense to be made. So tell us your story and tell it with a heart towards, like Bob just said, sure, the people you're going to encourage by sharing.
Well, thank you, Bo. Our story is one where we had 2 sons that were born with a rare brain disease. Nathan, our 3rd son, was born in 1990, and he lived to be about 5.5 years old. And our son, David was born a year and a half later, and he lived until 1998, so he was 6.5 years old. The rare brain disease is falls into a category called leukodystrophies, which is a horrible family of illnesses. During that period in our lives, my wife and I, or prior to that, had both been Christians that loved Jesus and were doing everything we could to follow him in our life. And so it was a very difficult period of a lot of heartache and pain and agony. And, you know, after we made it through that period and the years after that, we went through a process of grieving and coming back to a relationship with God and learning to trust him again in spite of the pain that we had gone through and the hurt and the anger. And then 2 years ago, or just a little bit over 2 years ago, our son Matthew, our second son, he was 19 years old, and he was riding home from a party with a friend who was driving, and the friend was drunk, and they had an accident, and my son Matthew was killed in the accident. So that sort of started the process over again for us of going through a very difficult loss and grieving the loss of our sons and working our way through that. And so the good news in all this is that Jesus has walked through us every step of the way, and we're really thankful for his mercy in our lives and his grace. And I can tell you that there are many times in both of those stories that I got discouraged and gave up, but he didn't let go of me. He hung on to us and didn't stop loving us, and I'm very, very thankful for that.
So when you make a commitment to Christ, there's no guarantee that all of a sudden you're immune to the problems and pain of life. In fact, here is a guy and his wife Debbie who just have had an overdose of tragedy in their lives, and I can't even sit here and do justice to how to ask you these questions, Mark, because it's just so sad what's happened, and yet you're one of the friendliest, most anchored, positive friends I've got, and we've only been friends for a short time, but I just, from the first time I met you, your spirit and the peace that's about you is just contagious. So I would ask you on behalf of listeners that are not privileged to sit here and look at you like we are, were there times when you were just so ticked off you wanted to put your foot through the wall or your fist through somebody's face, or that you and Debbie were even turning on each other, like they say most cases the loss of one child you're going to get divorced, and you guys had to have some moments when it was just almost hopeless?
Absolutely. I do remember very specifically some very long and difficult nights in the middle of the night being extremely angry. I'd had some personal experiences where I had seen some fairly incredible and miraculous things that God had done. And to be in that difficult situation and crying out to God and asking for hope and asking for help and not really seeing any difference, and then from that place lashing out at the people around me, and including my wife. And I can tell you that we said a lot of very hurtful and damaging things to a relationship through those periods. And I got some really good advice from somebody one time in the middle of those periods, and that was, don't make any big decisions when you're going through that kind of emotional pain. And I remember resolving that we're going to get through this before I do anything stupid. And boy, I'm sure thankful for that piece of wisdom that someone gave me.
Yeah, I've got a friend named Bob Beal. We have a friend named Bob Beal that's an author and a consultant, but he teaches that I'm laughing because I keep putting my hand up here in my mouth and mumbling. Sorry, y'all. But Beal teaches that it's helpful, no matter what you're facing, to have a single word focus. So he advised us through some tragedy in our lives 19 years ago to have the word survive. In fact, he advised me, quit trying to be a strong, influential dad at the moment, because you're not quite getting through to your kids with what's going on. But survive was our single word focus? Probably yours there too, after you got some advice from people.
Yeah, I adopted the approach of just take the very next step in front of me. Don't try to take five steps down the street, and just do what I had to do right now, today, right this minute. And that was along the very same lines of, we're going to get through this before we do anything.
You know, my sister Lana called me one time. She was married, and called and said, you know, if this is love, I've had enough. I'm getting divorced. And her husband was up to all kinds of nonsense. And now she's remarried, has two beautiful girls, worked out great. But I remember her saying that to me, if this is love, I've had enough. Kind of like, did you understand that I'm getting divorced and here's why? So I'm saying to you, did you ever, or can you remember clearly looking at God thinking, you know, if this is what it means to be in relationship with you, I've had enough? Because even Jack LaPietra, one of our inner city leaders, he said to us, he has people come back years later and say, okay, I've tried this. I've been a Christian now for 3 years. I still don't have a job. I still live on the streets and I'm still broke and it ain't working. So I'm out. But that crossed y'all's minds and hearts?
Absolutely. I distinctly remember 4 o'clock in the morning, one morning after, there was a period of time where both of my sons would not sleep for more than about 2 hours in the night. And we would get up and attend to the medical equipment that was taking care of them. And there would be messes and all kind of things. And so we went for about a year and a half without a good night's worth of sleep. And I remember being really angry at God and saying, God, I'm done. I quit. No more. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of this. I'm done, you know. And I remember waking up about 4.5 hours later, which was a huge thing, and really having a strong sense of the presence of God in the room. And my response was, what are you still doing here? I was so mad. Why are you still here?
You know, kind of one of the great classic writers in Christian history, Teresa of Avila, went through a lot of pain and difficulty in her own life. And at a point in time, she made a statement that, you know, it's kind of a classic where she said, Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few. But really, in a fallen world, and I think it is tough, you know, we live between sort of the cross and the second coming, you know, and I think if you have the wrong sort of theology that, you know, boy, everything's going to go great now. It's not what the book says, because, you know, I mean, Christ kind of said, hey, you're going to have troubles, you know, in this world, but, you know, I've overcome them. But again, you know, that, you know, we all, I think you guys have just gone through something that I can't even comprehend. But again, there are a lot of difficulties and struggles living in a fallen world.
Yeah, I'm never going to say this side of heaven that I'm not going to have questions about why things like this happen. But I'm also not stuck, as Bob just said, on blaming God for what happened, because this is foreign to his nature. And it was Adam who started all this by looking at God saying, hey, it's nice you want to be God, but so do I. Pass the apple and let's eat. So, sorry we were all born into this. And yet Dwight Moody once said what bothered him more than the sin and the pain that's in the world is the fact that God provides the remedy in Christ Jesus of how to see behind these storm clouds and what life throws at us. And yet men and women continue to spurn the remedy and not consider the claims of Christ. Hooray for you and Debbie, because you had Christ to get you through this. And now on the other side, just a little bit, looking back, I wanted you here today to tell us how part of the healing is that from this garbage heap that's been thrown at you, you have assembled this beautiful fertilizer and you're spreading it out over the lives of kids, families that you're able to touch. So describe to us a little bit about your son's funeral and the picture of what went through your mind there as you looked around and saw his friends there paying tribute to him.
So my son Matthew was a popular kid and had lots and lots of friends. And at his funeral, I would say there were probably about 200 young people. And it was amazing how he had demonstrated love to them and had a good relationship with them. But it was a group of kids that don't have Christ in their life, that come from a background where they're not exposed to church or Christianity very much, and they were making some pretty bad choices. And so my wife and I have had the opportunity that I'm very excited about to continue to reach out to those kids. We invite them over to our home on a regular basis, and we spend time with them. Bo and I were just talking the other day. I bought some baseball tickets for the Rockies, and I'm pretty excited about that coming up this summer. And I enjoy baseball a lot, but the fun part is that I'm going to rotate through that group of kids and take them to baseball games with me.
So you're sitting there side by side for 3 or 4 hours, because that's why they call it boars ball. It's a little slow for some people, but I love baseball too. And I love that you're setting up this situation where you have those hours with those kids to impact them.
Oh, and it's so wonderful, because when we spend time with the kids, and really when you develop relationship with anybody by investing and spending time with them, it opens up their heart for you to have an opportunity to be there for them in difficult times. And so that's what we're looking forward to.
So say that, or finish this scripture for me, Bob. Sorry to put you on the spot, but he who has begun a good work in you
will carry it on till the day of Christ Jesus.
So it's interesting that, again, it's not
I'm glad you asked one that I knew, by the way, because it's very embarrassing when you do that to me and I don't know the answer.
You know all of them. So it we do have to make a decision, and we do have to, by faith, say, I'm receiving you, Lord, and I'm going to make right decisions and try to obey as best I can, or trust you through your Spirit to help me obey. But it's interesting that his work doesn't quit when we just sign up. He's still active and takes garbage like what was thrown at you guys and makes this beautiful fertilizer out of it. So I don't know how to sound any short of your grandpa by saying I'm proud of you, what you've done with this mess. But you would say to listeners, I know that it's still a healing process. It's not something you're ever going to get over, but you adjust your life and move forward, and look what you're doing with his friends. It's an incredible ministry God's given you.
Well, you know, I think back in even going through those difficult times, I am so thankful for the mercy and the love that I've received from God. It's been overwhelming, mercy and love and grace. And you know, you might look and say, well, you know, how can you say that was love and mercy to go through what you went through? And the answer is, I made it through. You know, his mercy and his grace brought us through that. And I experienced his love in spite of the difficult circumstances. And my response is, how else could I respond but to walk in that love and that mercy and grace and reach out to other folks and try to extend that to them that I've received? So I'm very hopeful about life. I'm very expectant and looking forward to great things, not just in mine and Debbie's life, but in the lives of these kids that my son knew.
Well, I admire you and appreciate you for what you're doing. So somebody's listening that's right square in the middle of their pain. They haven't gotten to halftime, much less the fourth quarter. And are there things you'd say to them that might lift some spirits today and encourage them that you're in Christ, your best days are ahead of you, no matter what the world's throwing at you? There is hope. There are answers to the questions you have about the unfairness of the situation, or the duration or intensity of what's being tossed your way. Are there specific pieces of advice you'd give folks like that?
Well, the first thing I'd say is the game's not over. We are a long way from the game being over. And in the middle of this difficult circumstance, tomorrow's going to come, and the next day, and the next day. And there is a hope, and there's a hope in God of redemption. That's what God is all about, is redemption and you know, bringing his life into a situation even after it's been difficult and hard. You know, my encouragement to folks that are going through the difficult time is hang on to your friends, hang on to your family, and hang on to God.
And I'd encourage them, too, just to picture y'all's faces. I remember Debbie walking in the studio saying, I have a sore throat. I don't think I'm going to participate today. And it was just too much. There's a time when what you should do is cry. And I was sort of pushing my timetable on her as she cried and said, here's the mic. Share your story. But You guys are a great witness of encouragement to all of us that are looking at you. So I say hooray for you, to you guys, for how you've handled what's been thrown your way. So when does the baseball game start for you here? Pretty quick, in the next few weeks?
Well, my first tickets are on April the 13th, and so I'm not going to be there for opening day at the home games, but I'll be pretty close to that, and I'll be there for at least 20 or 25 games this season. So go Rockies.
And they're going to go. I saw Sports Illustrated recently saying Colorado is going to get it done in the West this year, and that's interesting. So, Bob, in terms of Scripture, how do we explain to people the tragedy that they've been through? How do we frame it for somebody that's not going to sign up because they want to sign up for a genie in a bottle that they rub and it comes out and everything is health, wealth, and prosperity?
Yeah, I was thinking about a quote, by the way, from it's kind of bizarre, but Philo of Alexandria, first century kind of Jewish philosopher, but a lot of the early Christian fathers felt like he was pretty squared away. But he's kind of famous for the statement, "Be kind, everyone's fighting a great battle." And again, I think first of all, I know in the midst of if you got a friend going through something like this, the last thing you try and do is explain it, I think. Because it's not helpful. I think that when you got a friend that's going through it, what you do is you love them, and you know you're kind of there to hang on with them as they go through, you know, difficulty. You know, with the things that you're feeling when you're going through it, they're all valid. God, you know, I think God understands that. You know, I know when C.S. Lewis, I don't know if we talked about this when you were here last time, Mark, but you know, C.S. Lewis watched his wife, you know, battle cancer and die from cancer, and there's actually a great scene in the movie Shadowlands where, you know, a priest, an Anglican clergy guy, is trying to be comforting to him and says something to him after the funeral like it's the will of God. And C.S. Lewis looks at him and says, "It's a bloody mess." And, you know, he actually went through quite a long period of time where he says he became an atheist for, I think it was 3 months or something, and he writes about it in his book, A Grief Observed. But, you know, the explanations, they're there, but I think, you know, it's hard in the midst of it. They aren't real comforting sometimes to know that, hey, this is the world we live in, and it is fallen, and there is, you know, tragedy, and I don't know if there's anything more tragic than what you guys have been through. But I think the explanation is not as important when you know someone going through it as just kind of, I think, being there and loving on them. And, you know, when they say why, instead of saying, well, you know, if you go to Romans, I mean, you know, I think what you say is, you know, so I don't understand either, you know. And I can remember when our good friend Rich Elrod, you know, this was a buddy of ours that literally one day was as strong and healthy as any of us in this room, got sick, and in a week was gone. And I can remember thinking, Lord, and just a great guy, I remember thinking, what were you thinking on this one, you know? And Rich was a great guy, and I spoke at his, you know, a number of us spoke at his memorial service, and basically I knew exactly what he would have said. And I got up and said, now if Rich were here, here's what he'd say: this sucks, you know, because how do you handle it? Now you trust. And there's faith in the midst of it. But on the other hand, you know, I think just be, I don't know, you probably were the people that were most helpful to you, the ones that just kind of loved on you and were
yep.
there.
Yeah, the real basic stuff. I remember a guy named Jim Donahue and Betty Donahue one night in the middle of the difficult times. Jim and Betty just brought pizza over to the house and said, here, we're going to watch the boys, and you and Debbie go take a break. And it was real simple. It was real basic. But, man, it changed our lives. It gave us strength and hope and encouragement. And so, yeah, you don't have to have the answers. Just be there.
Well, and I don't know where you go to get your tanks refilled with these kind of memories in your head, but your tanks always seem to be full and overflowing for others. So Bob and I just say to you as friends, keep doing what you're doing, because you're helping a lot of kids, and you're coming alongside of kids that probably wouldn't have anybody if you weren't paying attention. So way to go, Mark, and Sorry we have to do radio shows on this topic.
Well, thank you. Glad I can be of encouragement.
Oh, you are. And Debbie, you didn't have to cry through this one today. We just did Mark solo. And for you listeners, I just say, this is not a downer for me. This is an upper, that out of your own pain and out of your own sorrow, there comes explanations and hope and encouragement and use for your life. So if you're feeling this today, just know there's an end to it. There's hope. You're going to be like Mark Nichols, our guest today, and his wife Debbie, and move forward, and God's going to use you in great ways. So don't miss a minute of your pain. Don't let it just come and go without learning the lessons he has and seeing what he's got for you, because it's going to be something good. We live in an upside-down world when you live as a Christian. He's going to turn whatever's thrown at you into good if you just give it to him. So, Mark, we love you, pal, and blessings to you.
Thank you.
And all you listeners, we'll see you next week right here on You Get the Blessing, 7 o'clock KOA. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for letting us know you enjoy what we're doing. We'll talk to you soon.
Another girl, another girl.